For the Meat Poultry Podcast, I'm Ryan McCarthy, Digital Media Associate Editor. E-commerce sales continue to grow as many more people are interested in ordering food online. It's no longer loading up your cart at the grocery store with everything you need for some people. In the last year, more consumers have become comfortable with perishable items being delivered straight to their door. And many businesses like Chicago State Company, run by Matt Crowley, have the company structure set up to take on the new meat world. During this episode, Crowley explains how Chicago Steak has grown since 2007 and what it had to do to keep up with orders online during the first stretch of the COVID-19 pandemic. We also discuss how Chicago Steak Company picks its USDA Prime products to ship for customers. Next, we dove into the ways that Chicago Steak reaches out to people and how they hope to grow in the future. One way is Chicago Steak's interest in customer education with its Steak University section of the website. Its online resources give all the information and videos people need to prepare and cook the steaks and other cuts of meat the company offers. We hope you enjoy this conversation with Matt Crowley. Well, Matt, thanks for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. I wanted to start out with getting a little background about the history of Chicago Steak Company and whatever you would like to share about that.
Excellent. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for having me today. About Chicago Steak Company, you know, Chicago has a long tradition when it comes to quality beef. I think it goes back to the 1800s with the Union Stockyards, where the majority of all the beef in the U.S., if you can believe that, went through Chicago, you know, partly due to its access to the water and the railways. And today, when I think of Chicago, when most people think of Chicago, you know, you think of many high-end steakhouses like Gene and Giorgetti's, which I think is actually the first steakhouse in the U.S., but definitely Morton's and Jordan's and so many others. And here at Chicago Steak Company, we're really proud to carry on that tradition. We represent butchers and a tradition that goes back for generations. Chicago Steak Company, we entered the online space in the early 2000s, in 2007. And our goal was to provide a safe, easy access to high-quality beef across the U.S., shortly after getting into the e-commerce space, we discovered that there was a lot of confusion from customers when it came to beef, you know, questions around quality or grading or even cuts of beef. So what we decided to do was to put together a university. You know, we launched Steak University with a mission to educate the world on all things beef. We believe here that an educated consumer makes for a better one. You know, whether they buy from us or not, we certainly hope they buy from us. But even if not, we believe that somebody who understands that cooking a steak to a medium rare temperature of 135 degrees is going to have a better flavor profile than somebody that's maybe cooking it to 165 or something that they may cook other meats to. Or understanding that not all fat is bad. You know, the small flecks of fat inside your steak are known as marbling, and you know they actually melt into the steak when you're cooking it and add to the flavor. Little things like that, we found a lot of people didn't know. And so we created Steak University, and we have created an incredible amount of content over the years and continue to add to it. Everything from what is a steak, what is aging, why does marbling matter? We've also got videos and content on how to cook the product. And now Steak University is visited by several million people a year. And we're very proud to continue that on as well.
Okay, great. I was curious, are you guys just fully online? Do you have a physical location at all in Chicago at all?
Yep, we're fully online.
Okay. And yeah, I was just curious, moving into that space in 2007 and what you've seen change over the last 13, 14 years or so, and how, you know, you probably were at an infancy point of it in 2007, and now it's, you have many more competitors with what you're trying to do.
Yeah, certainly. Definitely a different space in 2007 than it was today. You know, we've been online, like I mentioned, early 2000s, and we went there because we believed that that's where people ultimately were going to go for their shopping needs, especially when you were talking about high-end quality items that maybe you didn't have access to beef, you know, even as readily accessed that may be available today. But definitely in the last several years, and in particular, I think you want to talk a little more about the last year specifically. There's been an incredible acceleration and incredible expansion in the online space. And I remember early on when I would do a Google advertisement, you know, when you search online, you search on Google and you type in some keywords, there's the organic listing, which is the center part where Google will naturally believe that yours is the best match for the content that the user searches. But then there's the advertisements that appear on the top sometimes or on the side. And I remember when we first did this and there were just two or three competitors there, you'd have a couple words of text you could throw up there. And now it's, you got visuals, there's video, there's images, there's tons of things going on. So the online space has certainly changed, and there's much more competition today on that space than there was 10, 15 years ago.
Sure. And yeah, you mentioned COVID. I'm curious. I've heard from several different online models of how things went. Take me through the timeline a little bit, because I know probably at the beginning you were probably rushed quite a bit by like people interested in your product. And what does it kind of look like now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, COVID wasn't something that we had prepared for from a supply chain perspective. There was certainly an early rush. March and definitely in April. There was actually, if you may recall, there was a national beef shortage, I believe it was April or maybe May of last year. And so there was certainly some challenges that we had to face to overcome both supply chain as well as making sure that we could continue to get, source the product, make sure that we could continue to get the packages out the door, working with UPS with some capacity constraints there. There was just a lot going on, particularly in the first few months of the pandemic.
Yeah, and take us through a little bit about how you guys have resettled everything now in the last 6 or 8 months, and how everything's kind of looking out now that everything's stabilized.
Excellent question. So, like I mentioned, early on in the pandemic, there were a few challenges that came about. The first was the shortage in the beef industry. You know, at one point I came across an article, I think it was in April or May, where one of the national hamburger franchises actually was pulling burgers off of their menu because of an inability to source consistent product for that. And you know, at that time, we were just really digging deep into our connections in the supply chain. And fortunately for us, we were able to do that and continue to source a consistent product throughout the pandemic. But then we also had other issues that came up, you know, with dry ice. Dry ice is a byproduct of ethanol production. And when the entire country stops driving, you're going to have a lot less opportunity to create dry ice.
Sure.
And then if you couple that with a lot of the vaccine research, you know, is being shipped on dry ice. And so we've actually, for almost the entirety of 2020, we were on ration. As well as, you know, I imagine most of our competition was on ration for dry ice, where you could order as much as you wanted, but you weren't getting it. And so we had to combat that creatively. And, you know, one of the solutions that we came up with is we just started expediting people's shipments. You know, if you ship something overnight one day, you're going to need less dry ice than if you're shipping it today. And so, you know, we didn't charge our customers for that. We were able to absorb that cost, but it enabled us to continue to keep shipping out packages. And you know, there were some other challenges in addition to that with some of the civil unrest that we've seen in the nation that created logistical challenges. We had, UPS and FedEx were really having some challenges, even here in Chicago, where, getting people into some of their hubs, whether they were taking public transportation or just trying to get through some of the streets, created logistical challenges. And at the end of the day, you know, our clients, you know, expected their product to be there on a certain date. And we had to figure out how to deliver that. And particularly challenging when you're dealing with the perishable. You know, if you delay a, you know, electronic, whether it's an iPhone or an Android or something, you know, that could be frustrating to the client. But at the end of the day, they're still going to get their product in good condition. But, you know, if you delay some USDA Prime Tomahawk steaks, and they take a week extra to get there, they're probably not going to be smelling too great. So we've had to overcome some of those challenges, and we've been able to do so. The folks out at UPS have been fantastic, and we've been able to overcome a lot of that and have some more consistency, especially here lately, these last several months.
Sounds good. Yeah, I was curious, you mentioned earlier about your sourcing, and I'm always curious where you're sourcing from mainly. Is it pretty close to your Chicago base there?
Yeah, you know, it is, but we've got some connections with a variety of farms. You know, some of the specs that we always hold the specs to, you know, consistent specs, but, you know, we carefully select our locations for the best of the Corn Belt throughout, you know, the Midwest. And we just make sure, you know, that they're all fed from the sweetest corn, fresh grass. The cattle is going to be raised in a setting where they can eat freely and get their fat naturally. And that ultimately provides, you know, an incredible source of nutrients and resulting in, you know, great flavor steak.
We will be right back after this short break. In the April edition of Meat Poultry Magazine, look for our cover story with Butterball's Jay Jandrin on the company's commitment to putting turkey at the center of more plates. Next, Sauceland Publishing, publisher of Meat Poultry, has started a series of articles to celebrate the company's 100 years of providing food industry professionals with timely news and commentary. Our first story for Meat Poultry takes a look back at some of the names and companies that were prominent in starting the modern meat industry. There's all that and more in the latest edition of the magazine. And you know, something that I saw from you guys is you are most of the time in USDA Prime with your cuts and everything. Tell me a little bit about making that decision and what that kind of means for your customers when you're just focusing on USDA Prime.
No, that's an excellent question. And it's something that, going back to my comment about Steak University and the creation of that, is a lot of people really aren't as educated on grade. I read a study, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, if the USDA actually conducted this, but there was a poll done where people were asked, you know, which was the most premium grade, and they listed, you know, USDA Choice, USDA Prime, USDA Select, and I believe most people thought USDA Select was just because of the name. And so, you know, educating people that, you know, USDA Prime is really the very best, you know, only a few percentage of beef in the U.S. qualify to be that, has been something that we found as an important part of our mission, because that is what we focused on in terms of our product. You know, we offer other lines as well, but our USDA Prime is really our focus, and particularly, you know, the dry aged and the wet aged product. It's something that you're able to deliver, you know, a premium luxury product, which is what we deliver. You know, our tagline is that we're delivering the ultimate steak experience. So focusing on USDA Prime really allows us to deliver that for our customers.
Yeah. And I was curious for where are you able to ship throughout the United States? Tell me a little bit about like how long you or how far you guys can go out with your process.
You know, we can ship just about anywhere in the United States. And now we're actually extending that into Canada now too. So, you know, there's some few exceptions. We can't get onto military bases due to some of the regulations with dry ice. We can't ship the PO boxes. It has to be a street address. But outside, you know, a few things like that, we ship across the U.S. and Canada.
Sounds great. Was that something that you guys were doing before COVID too? You were pretty nationwide for the most part?
Yes, we've been nationwide for most of since 2007 almost.
Okay, sounds good. I'm curious a little bit about, tell me a little bit about your customer, Matt, and tell me a little bit about what you see with your customer acquisition and who kind of comes back to you guys at Chicago Steak Company.
You know, that's an excellent question. It's a $1 million question of who is our customer. And there's a number of segments that appreciate our product, and we try to target each one, you know, in a different way, but it could be somebody who's a food lover, who's looking for that high quality beef to cook out on their backyard grill. It could be somebody different who maybe is an HR director looking to offer their team something fun and unique as a thank you or as an incentive for an internal program. You know, it could be a wife or a young person looking for a Father's Day gift. You know, that's right around the corner here. Father's Day is a big time, you know, year for our business. But at the end of the day, our target client is going to be somebody who appreciates a high-end product, you know, going back to that USDA Prime portion of the conversation. And it's somebody that's looking for the very best for themselves or for somebody that they care about.
You had mentioned earlier about the overnight shipping during COVID. Can you tell me a little bit about, is that something that you guys can continue throughout this time? Or is it a difficult thing to see throughout the past this time?
Yeah, so we ship a blend, you know, in order to help keep costs in line. We ship in the UPS ground network as well as the air network. And, you know, in some cases, if you're shipping something to Chicago, the UPS that ground network is actually pretty robust. You know, they'll get that there in one day in the ground network. And so there's no need to ship that, you know, priority overnight because it's just going up the street. And so we use a blend of ground and air. And, you know, particularly, as I mentioned, you know, really trying to upgrade some of those transit times because of the dry ice shortage is something that we've done specific to COVID. But typically, we use a blend of the two networks to accomplish that goal and get the packages delivered on time.
Sounds great. You know, Matt, I was curious, have you seen with your data or people that you've talked to about people being much more comfortable ordering food online, meat online, after having this year where they, you know, some people it was their only option to do it. Did you kind of see that?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent observation. And, you know, everybody's got their crystal balls out and everybody is looking to see where is the future going to be. And, you know, what we believe and what I think a lot of experts are saying is that this past year has really caused an acceleration of the adoption of online technologies. You know, there may have been particularly in our segment, you know, maybe some of the older demographics that may have not been as comfortable ordering product online, but certainly food is maybe more sensitive. The idea of ordering food online may have been something that they were uncomfortable with or didn't trust or didn't think that the food would arrive in a good condition. But as a result of the pandemic, you know, whether they were forced to or in some cases, we saw a lot of our clients shipping care packages. You know, maybe they would order for themselves pre-pandemic, but now they wanted to ship it to their parents or to other loved ones. And that introduction of that product then in turn caused those customers to then order for themselves. So we're really hopeful that the result of this is that acceleration is going to have a sticky effect. And that people who have tried the product that, you know, through online, maybe they were afraid of it before the pandemic. Now they're comfortable. They've proven the system and they like the access and the convenience to the contact-free delivery and to just a steady supply of high-end USDA prime beef. And we hope that that will continue, you know, and that acceleration will be a net positive for the industry.
Yeah. And I was curious also just what people's expectations are for meat too. You know, I've heard some other places of having completely frozen when people have it. Is that something you guys have always done where you've been able to freeze your meat and people are pretty accepting of that now? Or is that not how you guys are doing your business?
Yeah, we have pretty much always shipped all of our product on dry ice. You know, it's perfectly fine when you freeze the product. And especially when you get a package from us, it's not uncommon that there still be several pounds of dry ice still in that package. And obviously, we have important warning labels to make sure the customers handle that dry ice appropriately. But having the product, you know, flash frozen here at the facility and then shipped with dry ice, it maintains a high-end, high-quality product through and through. And then ultimately, we've got thawing instructions and cooking instructions to help slow thaw that steak. You know, we recommend you put it on a baking tray and put it inside your refrigerator overnight to have a slow thaw. And then ultimately bringing it to a room temperature right before you cook it. You know, you're still going to have a high quality product at the end of that process.
All right. Just a couple more, Matt. And, you know, I was just curious about yourself. How did you get into the business here? And how long have you been working on the meat industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I've always been a big meat eater. You know, steak is obviously one of my favorites. Get me a bone in ribeye any day or a New York strip and I'm a happy man. But I've been doing this for a couple of years now. I've been doing this actually since 2007. So I've been doing the online space since then.
Great. Did you do anything else before then? Or was this just something that you decided to jump into in 07?
Just jumped right in.
Okay. And what kind of have you learned during that time period where, you know, when you just kind of jump into it, when you're competing with a lot of people that have a lot of experience over many years too?
Yeah, certainly. That's an excellent question. And we are competing with some really, you know, incredible outfits. You know, I have a lot of respect for a lot of the brands out there that are in the space. And, you know, we're really just comes down to me, you know, is an honesty and an integrity, just doing what's right, focusing on a high-end, high-quality product and taking care of the customer. Because ultimately, it's our clients and our customers that enable us to do what we do. And our appreciation for the product hopefully, you know, spills over to them. But ultimately, they feed us in the same way. I just love getting on, whether it's Facebook or Instagram, and just seeing people, you know, grilling up our product or giving us shout outs and just showing us how they're enjoying the product, particularly in the pandemic. Just seeing some of that has been just a real delight on this side.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Matt, you mentioned kind of how you usually bring in customers a lot of time earlier about whether it's for a gift or anything like that. Do you guys have any sort of subscription model for your stuff, or is that something you've looked at down the road with your thing? Maybe people buying your product in bulk more or things like that?
Yeah, that's a question that has come up. We have explored it. It's something that we are considering. But based on the customer feedback that we've gotten, we believe that by giving customers access to an easy online ordering platform where they can pick their own products and they can pick a delivery date. You know, I don't know if that's something that we mentioned, but when you go on our website, ordering is very, very simple, Ryan. You can pick whether it's a particular cut that you want or whether you want to get an assortment. It's just a couple clicks. You add it to your cart. And then when you're checking out, you can pick your actual delivery date. And so we found, and the feedback that we've gotten from our clients, is that convenience and the ability to pick their delivery date and just being able to order with a few clicks has kind of outweighed the desire, at least at this time, to build out a subscription model. And then also we've got a couple other pieces of the technology with Amazon Pay and also with PayPal, where you can log in and even pay with Amazon and use all your address book there. There's just a lot of convenience. And one other thing on that note is we've actually been rebuilding, you know, over the last 6 months, our entire website. And we're really excited. We're going to be launching a new site here in the next couple months. And it's just going to be, you know, the same incredible product, but an even more convenient, more easy way to order. And so that's kind of where we're taking that based on the feedback from our clients.
Sounds great. Yeah, we'll be excited to see that when it's completed. Matt, I wanted to ask you about this, the Steak University and some of the other information that you have available on your website. Take us through how you guys got started with that and why that's such an important part of your business model too, where people have information where they can kind of see how to properly cook the steak with this kind of meat.
That is a very important aspect of Chicago Steak Company. I mentioned it earlier about the idea behind it was based on what we heard from our clients. You know, the first couple of years we were doing this, people didn't know what USDA Prime was, didn't know what even an aged steak may have been. And so educating the customers, like I had mentioned, we believe makes for a better customer. And so the creation of Steak University is not only to help aid our clients that are purchasing our product to enjoy it to its, what we believe it's most enjoyable aspect, you know, again, cooking that steak properly. You know, I personally am a medium rare guy, but, you know, not overcooking it or knowing how to use that product. And at the same time, just we want to contribute to the beef industry and foodies as a whole. And so even if you're not ordering from Chicago Steak Company, if you're just cooking, you know, your own meat or cooking your own burgers, you know, you can still gain access to an incredible amount of resources on how to, you know, whether it's just cook that product or enjoy that product maybe in a different way with different recipes and things like that. So it's a very important aspect about who we are, just in the belief in education, because that's a very core value here at Chicago Steak Company.
You know, Matt, I got a couple more. I just wanted to ask you real quick, kind of after having a crazy year like this, what do you guys kind of evaluate and what do you guys kind of go through your future ventures with what you guys are going to do with Chicago Steak Company?
You know, again, this last year has been a crazy year, like you said, and we're just very thankful for all the support that we've gotten from, you know, from our customers for our business. And, you know, we are really hopeful that the adoption of the technology, the adoption of online order will continue to grow. And, you know, as that grows, we're excited to bring on new product lines. You know, we're looking into, you know, some of these new seafood items as well as some of the meat items that we carry. And obviously that's just going to be continued to be fueled by our customers. And then also the expansion into other areas. We're very excited, you know, as of 2021 to be able to offer our products into Canada as well. So that's kind of where we see the future, at least for Chicago Steak Company.
Sounds great. Well, Matt, anything else to add or plug in before we sign off? I think you covered the basics of the company. So anything else you'd want to add?
I'd just like to give a shameless plug, you know, log on to www.mychicagosteak.com. We've got the very best steaks. We deliver the ultimate steak experience. And Ryan, I just want to thank you so much for your time today.
All right, perfect. Thanks, Matt. Have a great day.
You too.
Make sure to check out the latest stories from the monthly print edition and online at meatpoultry.com. Also follow us on social media at Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, all by searching at Meat Poultry. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a rating and a review. It really helps us. All right, that's it for this time, folks. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.